You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Datt, and today we are talking Braves baseball. We bring in our Braves reporter, Mark Bowman, for us here on MLB.com. And Mark, the name that everyone is talking about in Braves camp is Ronald Acuña. And the fact that this guy hits a home run, his first this spring, off Masahiro Tanaka, had to get a lot of people even more excited about his future.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it, you know, at the start of spring training about how all eyes would be on him. And, you know, he got his feet wet the first few games, or, you know, kind of got himself back into groove, let's say that. Funny thing is, the other day, Ron Washington said to me at the cage before a game, he said, I think he's about ready to get hot. He had two hits that day, two hits, that was Wednesday, two hits again yesterday, and then the home run today. So, I think he's getting into a groove. He's getting comfortable there in camp. And now the big question is, how early will the Braves bring him up to the majors? My expectation remains that, that they'll keep him down in the minors for a couple of weeks, and we'll see him sometime in the second half of April.
If he has a scorching hot spring, is there any chance he cracks the opening day roster?
I just don't see why you would do it when you know, you're basically saying, oh, yeah, his 2 weeks will be enough to, you know, make a difference in their playoff chances. I don't see how that is. So you don't, you know, keeping him down there for 2 or 3 weeks buys you another full year, you know, and, you know, what might be during another full season where he can provide even greater value. So I can't see the benefit of putting him on the opening day roster.
All right, another guy who was on the mound who I know that Braves fans were really excited to see was Sean Newcomb. Two innings on Thursday. What does he still need to work on, and what did the pitching staff see from him that they really liked?
You know, everything with Sean is going to come back to command and his control. He certainly has to cut down on his walk totals, maybe more importantly, get ahead in the count more consistently. That would allow him to provide more, you know, would increase the value of his curveball. I like the fact that he's more willing to use that changeup, it seems like, here early in camp. And, you know, giving up the two home runs there yesterday against the Tigers, that's no big deal. It's nice to kind of get a little, make some mistakes here in February, March, whatever. And move forward. We've seen that with some of the other young pitchers so far. Mike Soroka, it's, you know, once they make that mistake, Soroka gave up a home run to Gurriel this past weekend. Just to hear the explanation about why the slider he threw was a mistake, that's what you want to hear. That's what you want to see is their reaction. Hey, why was this a mistake? And you move forward saying, hey, I got a whole season or, you know, a whole month to get ready for a season. So there's some pretty impressive arms there, and I have seen, Newcomb become a little bit more comfortable with his surroundings. This is be an influential year for him. I mean, he's still got to have – there's still plenty of time for him to grow. But at the same time, you've got the Sorokas, the Allards, and Kyle Wright's coming. They're all going to be competing against each other for rotation spots, or maybe they all fill it together. But there's enough competition in there that there will be some weeding out here over the next couple of years with all these young pitchers.
Yeah, he gives up a couple home runs, accords a couple strikeouts, but altogether a little bit of an up-and-down outing. So, like you said, he's got a couple of things to work on. How about on Wednesday? You mentioned Colby Allard pitched. Brandon McCarthy also pitched three scoreless innings. What were they talking about from both of those guys?
You know, Brandon, he's a veteran, been around for a while. He was efficient enough that he was able to lobby for that third inning. Most of the Braves have thrown one or two innings in their first start, and you know, McCarthy knows what it's like. He was pretty impressive. I mean, his stuff was good. But at the same time, he basically said, look, the only thing you're looking for out of that first start is to prove to yourself that you have something left. Whether it's while he wasn't necessarily looking at that radar gun, you don't want to come out there and you're throwing 85 miles an hour realizing, hey, look, you know, it's time to retire. You know, he has something left in the tank. He's coming off a season that was, you know, basically ruined by by that hip injury, or not the hip injury, I'm sorry, that was Kazmir, the weightlifting injury, the shoulder that led to the shoulder issue, and then he had the mechanical issues. And he's coming off a frustrating season now, but at the same time, he was able to pitch by the end last year, pitched in the World Series. So I don't think that was a significant concern for him about, you know, would he be ready and capable of pitching. It's all about how much value he can provide this rotation on the mound. He is going to provide value in that clubhouse. You can already tell, very smart, very attentive, and he's also very willing to talk to a lot of these young pitchers. So they're certainly going to get some value out of him this year.
All right, let's talk about Mike Foltynewicz, who you mentioned is changing his delivery, and he isn't ready to go strictly from the stretch, but he's moving that way with his now, you know, pretty quiet windup. Is he modeling his delivery, you know, after anyone? Is there somebody that he sees that he would really, you know, like to, you know, kind of mimic his delivery off of, or this is just something that he feels like he will be more comfortable in?
I think it's basically tinkering with his own stuff. We saw him start to do it a little bit last year. We also know that, you know, Steven Strasburg pitching out of the stretch all of last year, Alex Wood moving in that, choosing to do so this year. There's plenty of pitchers that are moving that way. I wouldn't be surprised if Folty gets there at some point. But what I saw the other day was a much quieter windup, especially, you know, there during that first inning, it really stood out where, you know, and even when he fell behind there in that first inning, he fell behind the third batter he faced, 3-0, he went to the stretch. He's just trying to find a comfort zone right now. This is a very important year for Mike. You know, like I said earlier about some of these young pitchers coming, that they're getting ready to pass some guys, and this is going to, Foltynewicz is part of that competition with the young pitcher. There's nothing guaranteed for him. Yes, he's going to start the year in rotation, but how long he stays there is up to him. You know, is he a starter long term? Is he is he better utilized out of the bullpen? If he can become more efficient and has more consistent command by pitching out of the stretch or with his quieter windup, you know, that certainly would benefit him. You know, far too often we've seen, this doesn't necessarily answer the question about the windup, but he's somebody that allows his emotions to get the best of him. So then all of a sudden you start to step a little bit, you know, wider or harder during that windup. Now, you know, your mechanics are messed up. How many times we've seen him fall off to the first base side over the years. Here's a guy that at times, you know, he looks like a legit number one or number two starter, but we have not seen that consistently as he would like or the Braves would like. So just to be able to quiet things down, I think will help him moving forward.
All right, let's talk about Austin Riley's two-run opposite field homer during yesterday's game in Lakeland. It's pretty cool to see power from this guy, especially go oppo. What have you seen from him that has got this team excited?
You know, this is a kid that's grown up in a hurry. Last year, he still had some baby fat. He was 19 at the time, you know, 20-year-old, that's starting to become a look and talk like a man. I enjoyed the conversation I had with him the other day about, you know, what he talked to Chipper Jones about over the last week. And it's basically the mental approach to hitting. And he gained a better understanding during the bat against Scherzer last week. He ended up striking out looking, but at the same time, he went through that at bat, and he said how cool it was to see how it's that chess match with a pitcher. And I think that's basically what he's learning. This guy has great physical skills. I think defensively, the frame that he has developed over the last year, has lost that, you know, most of that baby fat. You know, I think he's plenty mobile enough to play third base. The bat, certainly, there's plenty of power potential there. We saw that opposite field homer there against the Tigers. I think he had another double here today in the Yankees game. So there's plenty of potential there, and it's a big year for him, too, because there's a chance he could be in the majors as early as next season. There's also a chance that, you know, if he doesn't give them the utmost confidence, he's their third baseman in the future, that they go and pursue Josh Donaldson or, you know, maybe even Manny Machado this winter. So his success this year will influence what they do next offseason.
All right, sounds good. You also mentioned that Matt Whistler with that slider has at least brought himself back into the conversation about being a dark horse roster candidate. What more does he need to do?
Well, I mean, you're just going to have to do it, you know, over the length of the spring and maybe do it against some, you know, you're going to have to wait to make assessments when these guys are seeing legit major league lineups. So, you know, I think that it's a Matt has fallen so far off the radar. But at the same time, it's nice to have a guy like Matt Whistler, Aaron Blair, Lucas Sims, and Chase Whitley, long relief options, or long relievers who have options, minor league options. So all of a sudden, when the one guy pitches three innings one night and he's unavailable the next, you can just put them, you can just keep transferring them back and forth from your big league roster to your Triple-A roster and just keep, have a nice mix of those guys. It's, it's one way for Matt Whistler and Aaron Blair to get back in the big leagues. You know, I think just a couple years ago, these guys were considered top prospects. They've been passed over, and their way to stay within on Atlanta's pitching staff right now, it looks like, will be to prove themselves as relievers. And maybe, you know, all of a sudden you start gaining some confidence and that leads to other opportunities. But for right now, it's been nice to see that Whistler's slider has been effective in these first two games. But there is still plenty for him to prove over the next few weeks.
All right, so the basic summary is, Braves fans, you better watch out for Ronald Acuna in the future and watch him very closely now in the spring, because that is when you're going to get to see him, at least in the very immediate future. All right, that's going to do it for us here on MLB.com Extras, our Braves edition. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode, so make sure you stay tuned. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.